Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Five things we're going to leave behind when we enter into heaven's gates. Would you notice with me quickly this morning? The Bible describes going into heaven as passing those gates of glory. Don't know about you, but I'm looking for that day. Amen? Number one this morning, notice in the Word of God, beyond the gates there'll be no more sin. The Bible tells us here in the verses we've read together that there, once we get inside of those gates, once we enter into heaven, there will not be anything that will defile. There'll not be any sin. There'll not be anything that will bring shame and disgrace. Thank God, when we leave this world and we enter into heaven, there'll not be any sin inside the gates of glory. Aren't you glad for that? Down here on this earth, we're tempted to sin. Some people say, "Preacher, I've not been tempted." Well, you just told a lie right there, because every day we're tempted to sin. And Paul said the same thing. Paul said in Romans chapter number 7 that Paul had a problem. He said, "I've got a problem with this body that I'm in. I've got a problem being in this fleshly body." I don't know about you this morning, but here's what Paul said in Romans 7 verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I." Paul said this: there are some things that I don't want to do. And Paul said, I end up doing those things. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, there are some things I just don't want to do? And then the devil tempts you. And then the devil entices you, and you give in, and you say, "Oh my goodness, I didn't want to do that, and yet I done it." And you fail, and you sinned, and you were tempted. And here Paul said this: the things I don't want to do, I end up doing them. And the things I do want to do, I don't do them. I'd ask you this morning, don't have to raise your hand, but I would say, many of you would say, "Preacher, I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to witness. I want to be a soul winner." And the things that you want to do, you end up not doing them. Paul said this in Romans 7 there in the verse, last verse in verse 25. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" They tell me, Brother Russell, he may be a better Bible scholar than myself. So if I'm wrong, Brother Russell, just wait till afterwards you can correct me. Amen. But anyhow, they tell me, Brother Eric, that in biblical times, and especially in the days of which Paul was writing, that if somebody had committed a capital crime and somebody had killed another person, that they tell me that they would take that dead body, that corpse of that deceased person, and they would strap it onto the back of that person that had committed the crime. And they were forced to wear that dead corpse around with them wherever they went. It would decay. It would rot. And consequently, the person that was alive would get sick, and they would die as a result of carrying that dead body. Paul said, "I'm like that. I've got this old dead body that I'm dragging around." When you got saved, God did not eradicate the sin nature. Oh, no, my friend. Oh, listen, when you got saved, God saved your soul. He made your spirit alive, but you're still in a body of flesh. And while we're down here, we're going to sin. We don't want to sin. We don't have to sin. But the truth of the matter is, we will sin. You know why? Because we're in this body of flesh. And Paul said, "Who is going to deliver me?" Oh, but he said in that last verse, "Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, I've got to drag around an old dead corpse. His name is Frank Thacker. On 1967, one Sunday night, that body died, that body of sin. But my friend, I still have to drag him around. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing them. The things I do want to do, I don't do them. But one of these days, when I step off of this side and go into heaven and pass through those gates, I'll leave all the sin behind me. I'll leave all the temptation behind me. There'll not be anything that defiles. There'll not be an evil thought. There'll not be any kind of temper. There'll not be any kind of anger. There'll not be anything that defiles the body in heaven. For thank God we'll leave it and enter it through the gates of glory, and sin will ever be behind us. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that day. Y'all ever have to battle the flesh? Y'all ever have to battle the devil? Y'all ever have to battle the things of this world? My friend, I tell you what, there's coming a day when we step off. Listen, those loved ones that's over on the other side, those folks today, Brother Eric and I was just reminiscing a little bit yesterday. Listen, my friend, listen, 4 years ago, yesterday, his daddy stepped off onto the other side. Listen, 19 years ago, yesterday, my daddy stepped off, April the 20th, 2000, April the 20th, 2015. Our daddy stepped off, and they stepped off from this corruptible side into an incorruptible side. They stepped off from a sin-cursed world into a world where there is no sin. They stepped off, my friend, and left all the trouble behind them. They stepped off and left all the pain. They left all the suffering. They left all the sin all far behind them. Thank God I wouldn't bring them back if I could, because in heaven there is a perfect place. Number one, beyond the gates, there's no more sin. Number two, quickly, beyond the gates, there'll be no more sorrow. Listen to my friend, Job said this: man that is born of woman is of a full of, is of a few days and full of trouble. I don't know about you, but have you ever thought about Job? Have you ever thought about, here he was. He wasn't a rich man. He was the richest man. He was the richest man in the East. And I could imagine in my mind's eye, one morning as Job got up and had his cup of coffee. You say, how do you know they had coffee? Well, bless your heart. The Bible talks of it. Y'all say, where's it talk about? Over in the New Testament. You know where that is, Sister Laura? You said it, Hebrews. Hebrews. And I believe, sister, one morning, Job got up. He and Miss Job sat down at their kitchen table. Maybe they was getting ready to start the day off. By the way, can I tell y'all something? Job didn't have no Bible. Hadn't been written yet. Say amen. Amen. Job didn't have the Pentateuch. He didn't have the Moses is writing. He didn't have, all he had was his relationship with God. Come on, talk to me. And that morning that they sat down, perhaps they were going to start the day off. And all of a sudden a servant come busting in and he said, Job, I've got bad news. Job, the Sabaeans just came down and all your oxen and all the asses, they're dead. They're gone. I would liken that almost to your automobile. I mean, if you're blessed with one car, maybe two cars, all of a sudden somebody comes busting in. They say, hey, the thieves just came down and they stole everything. You don't have any transportation left. And Job could say, God gave and God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then as they were sitting there, perhaps as they was getting ready and drinking a little bit more coffee, all of a sudden another servant came busting in and said, Job, I've got bad news for you. The fire fell down from heaven and all your sheep and all the servants are consumed. They all burned up. All the sheep are gone. Job, you've lost it all. Job could say, the Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But before they could finish their morning coffee, all of a sudden another servant came busting in and said, Job, I don't know what's going on, but the Chaldeans have come down and all of your camels, they're gone. Your servants are gone. And Job could sit there having lost his oxen and his asses and his sheep and the servants and now his other set of servants and camels. And his wife could look at him and say, Job, you know, we've lost a lot. We've lost our material things. But Job, one thing we've got, Job, we've still got our children. And we've still got our family. And Job could say, yes, dear. And the Lord gave. And the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then, as things would have it, he heard that his children are all gathered in one house, and according to the way that Bible reads, they were gathered together for one of them's day, their birthday, and one of the commentators said. They were gathered together in a house, all 10 children. And here they were feasting, and they were having a good time. And all of a sudden, a great wind smote the house, probably a tornado. And when it hit the house, the walls caved in, and all 10 children, all 10 died at one time. It's hard enough to lose one child. By the way, somebody said, we're sorry for your loss. I'm not trying to be mean, but I haven't lost him. I know where he is. I haven't lost him, Brother Steve. If you lose something, you don't know where it's at. But I could only imagine, Eric, Job's heart, how it broke when all of his 10 children were laid out. Maybe they had a funeral. I don't know what they did, but can you imagine walking in? Maybe there's one casket, but there's two caskets. There's three, there's four, there's five, there's six, there's seven, there's eight, there's nine, and there's 10. All 10 children have their funeral at one time. It's almost unbearable, my friend. He lost his health. His wife looked at him and said, Job, you're a mess. Job, why don't you curse God and die? Job said, woman, you talk like a foolish woman. The Lord's only given us good things in his hand. The Lord's only done good stuff. Hey, friend, can I tell you something? The thief, the devil, is a thief and a robber. He's a liar. He's the one that wants to rob your health. He's the one that wants to rob your finances. He's the one that wants to rob your home. He's the one that wants to destroy you. My God loves you this morning. And she sang about it. My God loves you this morning. And God, at his hand, is only good things. Say amen. God wants the best for our life. God wants the best for you. God wants the best for your family. But here Job was a mess. His health was gone. Sitting in an ash heap, scraping those sores. And then his friends turned again. Against him. He lost it all and had a lot of sorrow. But I'm glad for one thing, my friend. Job could write over there one of the most prophetic verses. He said this, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hey, man, I know there's some things I don't understand. There's some things I don't know. There's some things that I still have questions about. But one thing I do know is that my Redeemer liveth, and he'll stand one day. And Job said, even though the skin worms may destroy this body, I shall see my God. But beyond the gates of life so fleeting, there waits for me a better home, where there'll be no sin and sorrow enter. Beyond the gates, beyond the gates. There'll be some times of weeping down here. If you've never experienced weeping, the Bible said this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes you cry a lot of tears over a broken home. For some of you sitting here today, your home's been broken by sin. Some of you sitting here today, you've got a wayward child. You say, preacher, I've talked to many of you. You say, preacher, my son, my daughter, They don't come to church. They're out there on drugs. They're strung out somewhere. I don't even know where they might be. They might be in the jailhouse somewhere. Preacher, they're just gone astray. And I've cried and I've wept and I've begged God. And it seemed like heaven is brass. Friend, there may be sorrow. There may be some brokenness. There may be some heartaches down here. But thank the Lord, when we cross through, open the gates up, and we get inside, there'll not be any sorrow on the other side. Number three, beyond the gates, there'll be no separation. Down here, or sometime we have to go through some periods of separation. My friend sitting on the front row, he served in the military. Some of you have served in the military. Brother Steve back here in the Navy. Some of you have had to kiss mama goodbye, kiss your wife goodbye. My dad joined the Army back in the 30s, if I can get my dates correct here. I think it was 1936 or so he joined. He was only 16, and he joined, and he went in, and he served 3 years. And then when the war broke out, he went back and re-enlisted. And by that time, mom and dad got married, and they were married. And I believe my sister Joan helped me out. I think you were born, what, 42, I believe. Anyway, he had to come up, and he had to kiss his wife goodbye. Hey, listen. If God hadn't put his hand of protection on my daddy, I wouldn't be here today. They had said when he was on board ship, when they were going to do a land invasion to Nagasaki, they were looking forward 60% casualties. They were going to do a land invasion. They were going to hit the beaches. They were going to go in. They were going to take Japan back over. But they dropped the atomic bomb while he was anchored out at sea. If it hadn't been for that, I may not be here today. What am I saying? There was sorrow when separation comes. But thank God when that V-Day come, when that VJ Day come, when that victory came, when those troops were liberated, when the prisoners were set free from those concentration camps at Dachau and Auschwitz, when they came back and they saw their loved ones, they fell on their neck and they hugged them and they kissed them and they said, "Oh, it's so good to see you. We missed you. We love you." Oh, wow, what a time of rejoicing when we get inside the gates. Can you imagine? And our loved ones that we haven't seen for a while, they'll be waiting, and Jesus will be there, and we'll be able to say, "Woo, glory, it's been worth it all to get inside the gates." There's no separation on the other side. Number three, and quickly, let me share this with you. I'm glad that our Savior here, we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. John said, turn back just a second. Turn back to Revelation. John said this when he was on the Isle of Patmos. Look in Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 18, verse 17. John said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that what?'" Say that one more time. "I'm he that what?" I can't hear you. "I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." And notice what he said. "I've got the keys of hell and death." Thank God this morning when our Savior, when he died on the cross and he cried, "It is finished," he yielded up the ghost. But my friend, let me tell you something. Just because his physical body died, just because the soldiers had pierced his side, just because they had beat his back and blood was coursing down his back, and just because they laid him in a tomb, didn't mean that the Son of God was dead. He was alive forevermore. Went down into hell, took the keys away from the devil, took the keys of hell, took the keys of death, and ascended back on high and led captivity captive. Thank God, he's alive forever. Paul said this, "O death, Where is that sting? Family was out for a Sunday drive one day. Back in my day. Back in the day when you rolled the windows down, a 4 and 60 air conditioner. Y'all know what I'm talking about. These young people, they don't know what I'm talking about. 4 windows down, 60 mile an hour. Family was out for a Sunday drive one day, Brother Eric. Little girl was sitting in the back seat. Mom and Daddy up front. That was for the day. Aren't you amazed today how we all made it? No seat belts. No car. My wife and I was talking about yesterday coming back. We had this little makeshift car seat for Jonathan. I mean, son, it wouldn't pass inspection today. You know, they got to be padded and they got to be, you know. Well, we just had one of them little, I don't know, makeshift. But back in mine, Brother Steve's day, we made it. Little girl in the back seat of the car and the windows rolled down. They're riding down the road and all of a sudden in flies a bee in the window. And as that bee flies in the window, the little girl starts to go into hysterics. She's like, "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, the bee's going to get me. Daddy, the bee's going to get me." See, the little girl was highly allergic. She knew if she was stung by a bee that she would go into anaphylactic shock and it would shut down her airways, and she was allergic to bee stings. And so she began to cry, "Daddy, Daddy, the bee's going to get me. The bee's going to sting me." And Daddy pulls the car over to the side of the road and he reaches up in his hand and he grabs the bee in his hand, and the little girl breathes a sigh of relief. But just as he does, he opens his hand and out flies a bee, and she goes back into hysterica and she said, "Daddy, it's going to get me. Daddy, it's going to sting me." He said, No, honey, it's not going to sting you. For look. Look here in the palm of my hand, honey." And right there in the palm of his hand was the stinger of the bee. And he said, "Honey, the bee only can sting one time. And I took the sting for you. I took the sting for you, Eric. So when your daddy and my daddy crossed over, there was no stinger." Amen. Oh, glory. Somebody shout on that. Amen. Death may come to your house. It may peer up in your windows, Jeremiah said. It's seeking out its next victim. It may come knock on your door. It may be this time next year. You may not be here this time next year. But one thing is for certain. Thank God our Savior took the sting of death when He died on the cross. The sting was laid on Him. And thank God we don't have to fear death anymore, for Jesus took the sting of death. Beyond the gates, beyond the sunset, new life immortal for us awaits. We'll be at home on that fair morning. Beyond the gates, beyond the gates. Let me give you one or two more now, Don. Beyond the gates, there'll be no more sickness. Somebody say amen here. If you've never had to deal with sickness, you just don't know what we're talking about. But beyond the gates, the Bible says there'll be no more sickness. And this life is filled with pain. It's filled with suffering. But I got good news for you. When we leave this world and we enter into that next world, "And I have not seen nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." But one thing is for certain. There'll not be any doctors on the other side. At least practicing doctors. Yeah, I don't know. I never figured this one out. Have y'all, you know, they talk about medicine. And you talk to any doctor and they say, "Well, I've been practicing medicine for 30 years. Well, I don't want nobody practicing. I want somebody that knows what they're doing. Amen. If you're going to practice, go out there and practice on a cat somewhere. But when you get to me, let's make sure what you're doing is what, you know." But on the other side, when we go beyond those gates, when we step inside, there'll not be any sickness. There'll not be any cancer. There'll not be any lupus. There'll not be any kind of heart attack, no stroke, no paralyzed bodies. There'll not be any COPD. There'll not be any kind of IVs. There'll not be any cane hooked up to you. Thank God when we get through those gates, we leave all that behind. And oh, my friend, what a day. Glorious day that's going to be. You got good health. You ought to thank God every day for it. Amen. I thank God. Listen, I thank God for the health I've got. I've got some friends of mine. And listen, I'm bragging on Jesus this morning. But hey, listen, I don't take anything but vitamins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, I don't hurt when I walk. I used to hurt when I walk. I used to have arthritis. I used to hurt. I used to take pills. I used to take 2 diabetic medicines. I used to take high blood pressure. I used to take high cholesterol. All that's gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I praise His holy name for that. But friend, I want to tell you something. I'm going to a city where there are no pharmacies. I'm going to a city where there are no doctors. I'm going to a city, Brother Russell, where you won't have a perfect knee. You won't have to worry about getting a new one. Hey, man, I'm going to a city where those canes are not there. I'm going to a city, my friend, where there are no wheelchairs. I'm going to a city, my friend, where there are no coffins. I'm going to a city, my friend, where there is no sickness, no sorrow, no separation. I don't know about you, but I'm going to that city of God. Say, preacher, why are you preaching this message? God will lead on my heart. First time I ever preached this message, I've got my old notes. Oh, I retyped them. I retyped them. I did that early one morning, about 5 o'clock. I got up and I retyped them. But in my old notes, reading out through there, and I read where I said, 12 years ago, my son and my dad went off fishing. So that would have put him at age 22. In 1990, I had a little 16-foot aluminum boat, little V-hull with a 9.5 horsepower motor. It was just fine for ponds and fishing a few lakes. My daddy was a fisherman. My granddaddy was a fisherman. We loved to fish. We didn't eat that much fish, but we'd give them away. But we loved to fish. I told my daddy I'd come by and pick him up. Me and my son, we would go to one of the ponds, one of the lakes. I went by my dad's house on 762 Barrymore Road, picked my daddy up. Jonathan was in the vehicle. I forget what I was driving, but I was pulling my little boat behind me. We got over near the lake. My son got deathly sick, just real sick. And turned around and came back home. I don't remember if it was that day or the next day, but my wife was working and I had some time or whatever, and she said, "I've got a doctor's appointment. Take him down to this old Navy doctor that we had, a pediatrician in Burlington." And I took him down there, and he said he's probably just got a virus, gave him something for his stomach, sent him back home. He didn't get any better. The next day he was even worse, and so I took him back. And the doctor said, "We're going to send you over to Burlington Pediatrics." So we went over to Burlington Pediatrics. My wife and I sat in the room. As we sat in there, the doctor came in and he said, I have some news for y'all. He said, "Your son is diabetic, juvenile diabetes." Now, you might say, "Preacher, I'm a diabetic." Yeah, but yours is probably type 2. His is type 1. That means that at that point, his pancreas had stopped functioning. It didn't secrete any insulin, period. He became insulin dependent. They said, "We're going to send you over to Memorial Hospital." And so we got over to Memorial Hospital, and the doctor looked at us and said that day, "What I'm telling you is that your son has got an incurable disease that he's going to have for the rest of his life. It's not like cancer. It's not a brain tumor. We'll teach you how to manage your diabetes. So we went over to the hospital. They took an orange and they began to draw up a syringe of water and inject it in the orange and said, "Now here, you try this." And then we tried it, and then they said, "We want him to try it, and he's 10 years old. And give yourself a shot in his stomach or either in the back of the arm or in the legs." And that became the ritual. Many times, at least 2 times a day, maybe sometimes 3 times a day. And so we began a journey. A journey that would ultimately continue for 28 years. But I got good news for you today. My son don't have to give himself insulin anymore. I got good news for you today. There are no doctors and clinics where my son is. There are no hemodialysis units. There are no more procedures. Why? Because he crossed over just about 3 weeks ago. And beyond the gates, there'll be no more sin, suffering, sorrow, separation. But there is one last thing, and I close with this. Beyond the gates, go back to Revelation for a second. Look in chapter 22, verse 3. And I'm done. Revelation 22, verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there'll be no night there, no need of candle, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever." You see, the last thing I want to leave you with this morning, beyond the gates, is my Savior. I read over there about Abraham had a son, Isaac. And it came time for Isaac to marry. Abraham called his servant Eliezer and said, "Eliezer, I want you to go into the far country down to Laban's house, and I want you to find a bride for my son." Eliezer obeyed his master and left and went down into the far country down there at Laban's house, and he found a beautiful young girl by the name of Rebekah. Eliezer had said, "Lord, you've got to show me the right one." And God pointed this girl out and God confirmed it. But now she had a decision to make. Eliezer went over to this beautiful young girl, Rebekah, and said, "Rebekah, my master has sent me down here to fetch a bride for his son. Would you be willing to go with me back to the master's house and become the bride of Isaac?" She said, I'll go. They loaded up the camel caravan and they started a journey. And I'm sure that through that journey there were some long, hot days. There were some cold nights. And I'm sure at some point in time Rebekah would say, "I wonder if I made the right choice or not." And she'd maybe look over at Eliezer and say, "Eliezer, tell me again about this man." And Eliezer said, "Oh, let me tell you about my master's son. He's the most wonderful, kind, compassionate. I know you'll love him, but I've never seen him." "I know. There are no Polaroid cameras. There's no iPhones. There's no way to show you what it looks like. You just got to take my word for it. But he'll love you and you'll love him." They kept journeying over the dark mountains and over the treacherous ravines and that camel caravan, I'm sure there were times that Rebecca would say, I'm not sure, I don't know, let me think about this. Maybe I need to go back. But she kept pressing forward. And finally the day came. The Bible describes it this way, that she's sitting on the back of a camel, and there coming out to meet her was him. She'd never seen him before, but she knew it was him. She didn't need any formal introduction. She knew it was him. And the Bible said she lighted off her camel. And I don't mean she lit up a cigarette, honey. Amen. She jumped down off that camel and went a-running. And I believe, my friend, they fell in love from the first moment they saw one another. And they embraced and they became husband and wife. And you know the rest of the story. 52 years ago, there was a servant of the Most High Master that came to a little boy sitting on the back pew in a little church, New Baptist in Raleigh, North Carolina. And as Harold Carey began to preach that Sunday, the Holy Ghost of God began to speak to that little boy's heart and say, son, the Master wants you to go home with him. And one Sunday night, Brother Harry, I said yes. And me and the Holy Ghost got on the caravan of grace. We started a journey. It's been through some hills and some valleys. There's been some joyous times. There's been some sorrowful times. There's been some hurtful times. And there's been some wonderful times. And there's times that I've thought, maybe I just need to go back. Maybe just not worth it. And the Holy Ghost of God, the servant of the Lord, would nestle up next to me. And he'd say, son, I know you hadn't seen him, but one day you will. And when you see him, it'll be worth it all. For we shall see him as we are. And we shall be with him forever and ever and ever. And through all the dangers and toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will take me home. Thank God I'm going home with Jesus. I'm going through those celestial gates of glory. One of these days I'll leave this world of sin, sorrow, separation, hurt, and sadness, and I'll enter through the gates of glory. And once and for all, I'll see him who loved me and they gave himself for me.